Let me read to you the verse that we will be focusing upon this morning. I'll read a little broader context in a few moments, but we're going to be really focusing on verse 6. And if I just read that verse to you, it says this: "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." It's a great verse, isn't it? There's great theology in that verse, isn't there? I'm at a point in life, over the last 2 years, we've transitioned a little bit. We now have grandchildren. We now have a dog. We didn't have those things before. And I've had to do something that I haven't done for a while, at least, which is sometimes, and had this experience just the last couple days, had that wonderful time. All my grandkids were in the same house at the same time. It's amazing. There were times that one of my grandchildren latched onto something. Those little bitty cute hands. Hard. Had a grip. And you don't just yank. Learn that the hard way, all right? Don't just yank and get it away from. Sometimes you have to get them to release and replace with something else. So something they may have latched onto, I'm like, okay, that's not good to chew on. Put something that doesn't have lead-based paint or sharp edges or, other things in their hand instead of that thing. And as you take it out, either pry each finger off to get it away and put back in, and then the fingers kind of went back around it. You don't give them something too big where their fingers like, I can't grasp that. What I'm going to do today may require a little bit of peeling back a few fingers. I mentioned we also have a dog as well. He doesn't latch on with fingers. Latches on with big pointy teeth. In those cases, when he's got something he's not supposed to have, you have to be a little bit more surgical in this. And learn that the best thing is to reach from underneath and pull his lips over as I start to, and that way if he bites down harder, he's biting on his own lip and he's like, oh, I can't do that. And you can, maybe some today where you're going to have to pull your lip over so you don't bite down on me too hard here. Philippians 1:6. "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Great verse. Great theology. I had a professor that made up statistics all the time. It is just, I don't think he was intending to lie, but I think he thought it really brought his point home more. Nobody could know these statistics. But he would throw one out there, such as 40% of the time, Christians apply the right doctrine from the wrong text. I don't know if it's 40% of the time, 80% of the time, 87.2. It's greater than zero. And there may be the right doctrine that we want to use this passage for. And again, right doctrine, wrong passage to be applying the doctrine from. "I am sure of this," verse 6 says, "that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Today I want us to look at what is this work, the word work found in here. What is it that he who began this good work in us? Because once we understand what that is, it's one going to help us see maybe we are applying the right doctrine, but it's not this verse that's proving that doctrine. And then also we may see if we understand what this work is and this great certainty that's applied there, this verse is going to, I'm going to use the word help, but you may even apply the word fix or correct, other areas of doctrine and theology we had no idea this verse was dealing with, it helps us with. All right, with the stage set. What is this work? Let me go back to verse 3. Begin reading there. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of what? Your partnership in what? The gospel. Your partnership in the gospel. From, do you see the temporal indications of that thing? I would say that work. From the first day, even until now. Does that verse, that statement, have anything to do with verse 6? Does that have everything to do with verse 6? Everything. And so if we hear verse 6 and we love verse 6 and we love verse 6 because the salvation that God has started within each of us individually, that deliverance that He's given to us from sin, that He is going to make sure perseveres within us until the day of Christ, which is true and the right doctrine and taught in many other places. That's not the teaching of verse 6 here, though. So if I can take a few fingers off, take that doctrine out of this, it still has plenty of good resting places. Great doctrine. You pass the test. And if you're like, well, where else does it teach it? Let's have fun with it. And let's find all of those other places. Because they're many and they're worth that time. But if I've pried your fingers off and taken away the thought that verse 6 is saying that our personal salvation is what God has started and will complete, that's not what verse 6 is talking about. Hang on there. What is it talking about then? Well, as I mentioned, verse 5 says, and signals out, your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Partnership. You and me. Me and you. Partnership. For what? The gospel and the gospel's advancing. The gospel is the message of Jesus Christ who has come to this world, taken upon himself human flesh. Even though he existed in the form of God, he humbled himself. Became a man. Paul's going to get to this in chapter 3. And he was crucified. Not because of anything he had done deserving of that crucifixion. But he humbled himself to the point of death that our sins would be paid for, atoned for. That we would have the righteousness of God. And that he now lives as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And at his name, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth. This is the gospel that we are to be partnering with other believers with to see it proclaimed and advanced and to go forth. Here, where we are, here in this congregation, in our families, in our communities, and with those who are preaching that are in our areas, that are in Africa, like Heather with Hope of Africa, that are ministering to Ecuador and now areas in Spain and areas in Northern Africa that the Kuntz family is now serving. The K is serving missionaries throughout the entire world as the gospel is going forth. Partnering with them, partnering with Refuge here in Kansas City, who sees the nations relocated here and we can preach the gospel to them so that they can then proclaim it back where all of the places they came from. Paul was not in Philippi at the time of this writing. We went through that last week. We looked at 11 verses in Philippians last week that show what Paul is writing about the advancement of the gospel in Philippi and where Paul is imprisoned right now under Roman imperial guard. And Paul's going to give a little nod at the end of this letter. By the way, those brothers in Christ from the imperial guard here, they send their greetings to you. Because the gospel, because of Paul's imprisonment, is now going right into the heart of the enemy. The gospel is advancing. Verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, and I am sure of this, that he, God, who began a good work in you, I'm making the case here, I'm going to continue on, because again, our fingers, believe me, every time with my grandchild, you pull a finger off, they want to start coming right back down. Doctrinally, we may do that too. So I'm here to help myself included. He, God, who began a good work in you, and I'm going to say that is the partnership for the advancement of the gospel, will bring it to completion, just like he started it, verse 5 says, from the first day until now, and it's going to continue until when? The day of Jesus Christ. So here's where, hold on, you may have been with me so far, been like, okay, I kind of got that with you so far, I'm ready to say amen. Oh, wait a minute. This passage is going to have to do with eschatologies and systems of theology that we may have to let go of. If you're willing. This is where the canine teeth may need to be dealt with here today. This work, the word work, is used in other places in Philippians as well. In chapter 1, verse 22, Paul's going to say, look, if this trial here under the Roman imperial guard for me proclaiming the gospel of Christ, if this trial comes out in one way, I'm going to be put to death for my faith. If it turns out the other way, I'm going to live. As we talked about last week and we'll get into later on, Paul's like, I don't even know which of those I'd choose. I could be with Christ or I could serve Christ here. I could keep advancing the gospel. So he says in that dialogue in verse 22, if I am to continue to live in the flesh, this means what for me? And the ESV translates it, fruitful labor. That's the same Greek word, ergon, work. The work that God started. If I remain alive from this trial, I'm going to keep doing that work and bear fruit in that work. And that work that Paul's speaking of is continuing to preach the gospel. Verse 30 of chapter 2, as Paul is speaking of Epaphroditus, he says Epaphroditus nearly died for what? The work of Christ. And that's in the middle of that paragraph about Timothy and Epaphroditus being co-workers, fellow workers for advancing the gospel. The word work is used there of advancing the gospel. Then in chapter 4, verse 3, he's talking about the unity that needs to be there for these women who are also serving. Look at the language he uses. Chapter 4, verse 3. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side. The word labored is the verbal form of work, ergon. They have worked side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow what? Workers, evangelists proclaiming the gospels, whose names are written in the book of life. It's often used elsewhere outside of Paul's writings here in Philippians. If you remember, we just studied 3 John, and you remember that there were those who were going throughout these regions that they could be treated even as non-humans in these regions, but they were there proclaiming the gospel. And John's exhortation to them was, when these people come to you, receive them into your house. Give them your food, your lodging, and your security to vouch for them in these foreign lands in the Mediterranean. And he wrote in verse 5, beloved, it's a faithful thing you do in all of your efforts for these brothers. These are evangelists that Gaius is supposed to support partnering with them. It's a faithful thing you're doing in all of your efforts partnering with these brothers, strangers as they are. They have testified to your love before the church. You do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the pagans. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. So just take one finger off at a time. Fellow workers for the truth. Colossians 4:11. Paul writes, "These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God." Workers. 2 Timothy 4:5, "As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, and do the work of an evangelist." Over and over and over again, this term work in the New Testament is referring to the advancement of the gospel by proclamation of the gospel, and is used of the evangelists who are doing that very thing and those who are partnering with them to do it. So, Paul writes in verse 6, "I am sure of this, that he who began a good work," this partnership that the Philippians have with Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus and those serving at Philippi, the women that are spoken of there in chapter 4 and so many others, "I am confident of this, that he who began this good work among you will bring it to completion." He will continue this work. God is the one who is working in us. We're going to see this as we carry on. Matter of fact, let me read to you from Colossians 1:28. Here Paul says, "We proclaim Christ." That's advancing the gospel when you do that. "We proclaim Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone complete in Christ, mature in Christ, perfect in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all of God's energy that he powerfully works within me." There's the verbal use of it. And Paul uses it there in Colossians saying, "Look, I am proclaiming Christ. I am toiling. I am struggling with all of his energy that is working within me. He who started the good work in you, he is the one who will continue to work powerfully in you for the advancement of the gospel." And then in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul says, "We thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. For you, brothers, became imitators of us. You suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews." And it talks about how they were laboring in the midst of those who are trying to hinder them from doing what? Preaching the gospel to the world. Over and over and over again, the New Testament refers to this work which God is doing in us, and God is ensuring will work through his power in us, that as we do this work within us, he will continue it. So if your hands are fully released a little bit now from hanging on to verse 6 as my personal salvation and are ready to latch on to this being the work of the gospel, let's move forward. And by the way, just a little place card here, reminder for maybe a few months from now when we get to chapter 2, verse 13. This may help us when we get to that verse that says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation." We get there. And maybe that verse that scares us, we realize it scares us because we've been clinging to the wrong definition of work. all of these years. And instead of just scurrying around that one so it doesn't mess with our theology, we can latch right on to that verse. We'll get there in the future. So, I am sure of this, Paul says, that he who began the partnership for the advancement of the gospel will do what? What does verse 6 say? Look at it. You don't have to say it out loud. I want you to look at it, though. I am sure of this, that he who began the good work will bring it to completion. Those passages that I read earlier from other books where Paul says, I labor according to his power that works within me. Philippians, Paul says here, this partnership for the advancement of the gospel, God will bring it to completion. This word completion here is that same Greek word teleos, teleo, has a verbal aspect to it, has a noun, you know, all sorts of ways of using this. It's the word that we see often, and each time we have to look at three different definitions. The word teleos can mean complete, perfect, or mature. So there's lots of things that go on in this world that near a point of completion, that mature throughout their age, that become more and more perfect. But listen to this. I am sure of this, that he who began this partnership for the advancement of the gospel in you will bring it to teleos. What does this word teleos indicate in this context? He who started this good work within you will bring it to completion, to full maturity, to perfection. Don't know that the word perfection here brings about the context of what Paul's speaking of. Paul is very clear throughout all of this, that throughout the entirety of this, it's not about a worldwide conquering so that every single person is now a believer. He is very clear throughout all of this work that God is doing, there's going to be opponents. I don't think this is about a state of perfection. And none of the translations went that way either, indicating they didn't think so either. Maturity, I don't think this is the one that we want to go with here either, because that just kind of looks like you're going to get old together. You're going to kind of figure it out in the end. And they already had this figured out. They were proclaiming by the power of God already working mightily within them what they were to proclaim. So I think the word complete here is one of the few times when the word complete is the right of those three words to see here. He who started this good work in you will bring it to completion. The use of this word in this context implies many things. And okay, dogs, loosen up your jaws a little bit. And if you want to bite back down later on, you can. If you want to take my finger off, you can as well. The use of this word in this context implies many things to me. Number one, the work of the gospel is not up to the planning of men. He who started this good work in you, he will bring it to the point of completion. He didn't just say, here's all the puzzle pieces, make it fit. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you is the one who will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? Talked about some context here. There's a shirt, and some of us that are cynical enough may have seen this come across your feeds or something. It's a shirt, and it looks like one of those good like Christian wear type things. It says, I can do all things through Christ, through a verse taken out of context. That's what the church says. I can do all things through Christ, through a verse taken out of context, is the print on it. Oh, maybe we were even taking that verse out of context, because we're going to get there in Philippians. Maybe that verse is talking about the advancement of the gospel too. And we have to sit back and ask ourselves, are we willing to be a part of this great work of God? Because guess what? If we're going to put ourselves squarely right in the middle of this will of God here, it means we are going to face persecution for it. Didn't say, I am sure of this, he who began a good work in you is going to keep you from having a singe of persecution upon you. Doesn't say that. What does he say? He who started this good work in you will complete it. It's not up to man. God is the one doing it from beginning to end. According to this verse, that is very, very clear. The gospel, the advancement of the gospel, will not fizzle out. It won't. Unless you think God is going to fizzle out. Again, it's not up to us to figure this out, to come up with the right strategy, to make sure that the gospel never gets overwhelmed with the culture. We just keep preaching the gospel. God will do the work that it will keep expanding and going forth. He will complete this work that he started. He will do so. And it will not fizzle out. Nowhere in the definition, in the, all the various ways of teleos, can you find anything like, yeah, it's just going to complete, mature, perfect. That's what teleos means. This verse will not allow theologies that say the gospel is going to fizzle out over time. It will not allow that. This is one of the most clear passages of Scripture that speaks of the work of the gospel, and we'll get there and tell what in a moment. So we'll not let that happen. I remember years ago, and I'm old, so I can go back years ago, some of you aren't even going to know what this is, a CBD physical catalog. Some of you are like, I know what that is. Christian Book Distributors, I mean, there was no happier moment in the early 2000s, and when a believer would open the mailbox and pull out that gray-colored paper and see the cheap Christian books that were available there. Sets of Spurgeon that you could get for dirt cheap. And by the way, you can sell for more now because they're out of print. That one was free for you. And I remember one day you open it up and you would get to the best sellers. And that's where you could dip it, you know, move on past that, but one day one of the bestsellers caught my eye and was talking about how we are at a point right now in that point, probably 2003, where the gospel may get eclipsed and cease to exist in the world. There's a lot of us, and there's a lot of thought in our own mind. I mean, we can chuckle a little bit. I've heard it expressed here. Like, oh, it's just culture, politics, the media. Not only is it not up to us to carry this out to completion, there is no enemy that's going to stop it. God is not subject to the whims of culture and rendered powerless. He who began this good work will bring it to completion. All right, last one. Get your dog teeth ready. The work of the gospel that God started at Pentecost will continue working by God's great and glorious power until it is, according to God's plan, completed. There's another system of theology that basically says it's really not going to start until... No, God has been at work, and He will be at work until the final day. The gospel was going forth then. It is going forth in the time that Paul is writing this to the Philippians. It continues to go forth now, and it will continue to go forth until God completes it. That should be good news for us. I hope I've given you something that you can latch back on to be like, okay, I'm happy with this. This is good. He who began a good work in you will complete it at the day of Jesus Christ. So, what does the day of Jesus Christ have to do with this work? Paul says it here. I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Look down into verse 10. He's going to talk about this day again. So that you may approve what is excellent. By the way, that's the gospel. We'll get there. And that you will be pure and blameless. And that is about holding forth the gospel to a world around us that wants us to stop. And we will not. We will hold forth the purity of the gospel. We will be blameless in this culture until what? Or for what? For the day of Christ. In Philippians 2:14, Paul's going to say, do all of this, holding forth the gospel, without grumbling or disputing the world around us. We'll get there. So that you may be blameless and innocent. Here's what you will look like. Blameless and innocent. Children of God in this world, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. That's where we live right now. Among whom you will shine as lights in the world. Holding fast to the word of life, the gospel. So that in the day of Christ, Paul says, I may be proud that I did not run on this earth in vain or labor, work in vain. The gospel began after Christ ascended and sent forth His Spirit on Pentecost. We saw that Wednesday night, this past Wednesday night, providentially, we were there. And you saw Peter stand up and proclaim the gospel. Tell them that Christ had been crucified, but this same Jesus whom you crucified by the hands of godless men, God hath raised from the dead, and He lives. And I said, what shall we do? And the book of Acts is going to continue on. And eventually we'll get to where Paul, preaching the gospel, arrives in Philippi. And he preaches the gospel there. And we see believers there. And we see conversions there. And we see baptisms there. And now we see Paul writing back to them after he had visited them and now in prison. And he writes to them about this work that's still going on. And he tells them, keep it up. Keep laboring. Keep working, because it's God who started this, and it's God who will bring this to completion at the day of Christ. And Paul says, I can't wait for that day when I am there and I can look back on all of this and say, I didn't labor, work in vain. We are to be faithful to do the work of advancing the gospel until that great day. A few verses here to latch on to again. First of all, from 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4, Paul writes, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and in all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you until the end, guiltless until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not good news? This world is not just started with the gospel and a top was spun and now it's just kind of spiraling and it's losing control and it's just going to topple one day. No. Between the first and the second advent of Christ, God is at work, equipping you with everything you need to do the work he has given us to do of advancing the gospel. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. In this you rejoice, which is what? Well, we don't have time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's looking forward to that day. So much so that as he writes about submitting to ungodly authorities, but doing so that we may proclaim Christ, that we have set apart the gospel of Christ as holy in our hearts, that we may give a defense of it at any point, that when these ungodly leaders question us or push us, we can speak the gospel of Christ. And he says in chapter 1, verse 13, so therefore, prepare your minds for action, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Christ. Peter says, endure suffering now until Christ returns, and you will receive grace upon grace. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, this is the last passage I'll mention, 2 Timothy 4, 6, Paul says, I am ready to be poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but all who have loved his appearing. Dear friends, God has started a good work. God is equipping and enabling his children saved by his grace to be about this work, to be in partnership for the advancement of the gospel, knowing it's going to be difficult, knowing it's going to bring about hatred from this world, knowing it's going to bring about trials, telling us the entire time, fix your hope not upon ease in this world, but upon the appearing of Christ Jesus. But until then, God will continue this work, and he will complete it on that great and glorious day. The question now is for us. Will we be partners for this work? Partners for the advancement of the gospel, that we will faithfully pray for the advancement of the gospel. Pray for workers of the gospel. Pray for those whom God's brought into our lives personally, who we have met and known and served with, that are serving him by proclaiming the gospel throughout the world, holding forth the word of life in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Will we be partners with them? This work that God is doing. And guess what? It's worth it. We don't say this very often. Maybe we do in other ways. When we make efforts at things, if you know they're going to fail, how much effort do you put into them? sometimes when it comes to even silly things like sports or things, we've got the term bandwagon fans. It's like, okay, when it's going to work, when they're good, I'm in. And when it's hard, I jump off. Even if met people that he asked, well, are you fans of the local team? I am when they're good. Definition of that. And I get it. It's hard to do something, to labor for something, to toil for something that is at risk and you're not certain about. God has revealed, be certain about this. Amen. There's no chance this is going to fail. God has it planned out. He has it bookended. And He is powerfully, He is the one working within us to accomplish this until He completes it. Let's pray for strength to be about this work.